Hello, welcome to Locked On Sharks, your home for all things Team Teal. My name is JD Young, and one half of the content boys, Kyle, couldn't make it tonight. He was wanted to make it, but just couldn't. His schedule tonight was brutal. But we are here to celebrate all that is Timo Meier, and I wanted to do a live episode just because, you know, it's good to enjoy it with the people. So we are going to talk about the Sharks 6-2 win over the LA Kings. I'll be taking your questions and stuff during today's episode. So yeah, let's enjoy Timo time.
You're Locked On Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So Timo Meier, baby, pulled one better than the rooster trick. Five goals, scoring three goals in three consecutive shifts. Just an absolute beautiful day from Timo Meier. And it's kind of what the Sharks have been hoping to get. I mean, five goals is just an insane day. But, like, you know, Timo Meier has been arguably the best player. He has been the best player on the team. And I know Hurdle's been on a tear lately. But Timo Meier kind of, you know, he got his all-star bid, you know. And then he goes and does this and gets his five goals and really just kind of plants his flag. And this is what he can do. And this is, you know, he can be the best player on the team. And I mean, we'll get into the Sharks' actual game itself because I don't think it was their best game, but just Timo Meier just being on fire and everything he was shooting today was going in. And it was great to see his teammates trying to feed him and stuff. Poor Rudolph's bolsters. I think in more like the fourth or fifth goal, you could tell on his face, he was just tired of celebrating because it's all he'd been doing the whole day. But I do like, some fool it again said Timo's Betty White tribute game. I do enjoy that. Yes, Timo. Yes, Betty White. But just Timo Meier, man, like how hard he's worked and where he's come from, you know, especially after the last two seasons where there was rumors that they were going to trade him. And, you know, I even brought it up on this podcast, like an idiot that I am, of like, should they even trade him? And you can't. He is your future. And, you know, if you think you can get, you know, you pair him with Eklund's ability to pass and, you know, kind of solve, you know, spatial issues and, you know, just Eklund's vision and his hockey IQ, and you pair that with Timo's just sheer force and dominance and, you know, that bullying style of hockey, like, and if Tomas Hertl resigns, that's a really, really special line that you could have there. I mean, you know, Hertl and Timo have been playing well, but they really haven't gotten that third guy in yet. I know Barabanov's played really well and Bolsters has played really well, but if you get that Eklund special, it's going to be something to really look forward to. So, but yeah, I mean, like some of the stuff that Timo did say, you know, he's the first Sharks player to have five goals in a game, you know, first one to have four goals since Evander Kane did it after he was traded to the Sharks. You know, of course, the elusive rooster trick that we wanted from Joe Thornton, you know, he went up to him and got that fifth goal. So just social media today was absolutely on fire. And it was great to see, especially for a 1 o'clock game when you're like, you don't know what you're going to get, right? Like we've seen plenty of early games for the Sharks where they're just start out the gate really slow and the game's kind of over. And, you know, sometimes these afternoon games, you know, they get kind of bogged down or get lost and stuff. And it was just great where it was just kind of, as Sharks fans, where we haven't really had those special moments recently, you know, like, you know, we get stuff, you know, this is the first big moment I can think of. And since Joe Thornton's hat trick when he almost got the rooster trick, and he deserved that rooster trick against the Bruins. The Bruins robbed us of that. But, you know, like where everyone kind of stopped, everyone in the hockey community kind of stopped what they were doing and focus on the Sharks and focus on Timo Meier. And it's been a long, long time since that we've had that. And especially with all the this, you know, the kind of really bad offseason the Sharks had in terms of, you know, the Vander Kane stuff, and then the Will or the Sharks gonna resign Hurdle, and you know, it just wasn't the best off season. It's just nice to where, you know, the Sharks, people can focus on the Sharks play for once, and you know, that they're doing something special. So yeah, it was a great afternoon, and it was great to enjoy Timo Meier to kind of really put his flag in what you know, has already been a really special season for Timo, and now he's caught Hurdle for team leading goals. You know, he was, you know, so Hurdle and Timo are both at 20 goals now, which is, you know, really nice. You know, really, really nice, especially for, you know, halfway through the season. You know, we haven't hit the halfway point, and both those guys are already at 20 goals. So, you know, and now, I mean, they're well on their way to 40 goal seasons, and having two guys at 40 goals would be pretty, you know, we're not gonna have the depth that we did in the, like the 18-19 season, where we had like, they had multiple guys hitting 20 goals. But I mean, having two 40 goal guys, I mean, you could do a lot worse than that. So before we continue, we're gonna take a quick break and talk to you guys, of course, about our friends over at Bet Online. BetOnline would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action of 2022. New year and a new updated desktop and mobile website to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2022 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, so let's actually talk about the Sharks game itself. So it wasn't their best game, just the way they played. You know, I think they only had 17 shots and they scored 6 goals on the 17 shots, which not sustainable. But after the way they've played the last two games, especially, you know, where they outplayed the Rangers and they got shut out, and they outplayed the Penguins and they were able to score one goal, it kind of, I feel like this was a bit of a makeup game where the offense finally exploded, thanks to Timo Meier doing Timo Meier. Doing Timo Meier stuff. But you know, it wasn't their cleanest game, but I think it kind of makes up for the last two games. So you know, it's been tough for them, where it feels like they have been the better team on the ice, and today they kind of get that makeup for it. So you know, I would like them to be much cleaner, especially in the defensive zone. They gave up a ton of shots to the Kings. You know, the Kings had expected goals at 5-on-5 at 3, which is a lot. You know, they outshot the Sharks 37-14 at 5-on-5. Their high danger shots, they had 60. The Kings had 60% of the high danger shots. You know, 26 scoring chances for, like, that stuff is stuff that you really got to clean up. But it was nice to see Reimer play really, really well, especially with, you know, since Aiden Hill's been playing really great, you know, the past couple weeks. But getting Reimer back to being healthy and getting Reimer back to being James Reimer, you know, and I think that'll be good for them in the long run, where they can actually start kind of balancing these games out, where it's not just, hey, I need Reimer, I need you to play 5 games. Okay, Aiden Hill, I need you to play 5 games. And, you know, you start to wear down after that. So I think getting back to a more balanced approach with the goaltending is going to be better for both guys, right? Where they're not getting run down, and then, you know, like they're going to be fresher throughout the season. And so, especially if you're going to actually try to make a playoff push, which I'm still on the fence about, Kyle is full on tank for, you know, tank mode. But I still think they can make the playoffs. I don't know if they can make a lot of noise in the playoffs, but I think, you know, especially after the last couple of years, there's Dakota in the background there. Especially after the last couple of years where the Sharks have been really, really bad. And as fans, we really haven't had much to cheer for. So even if they make the playoffs and they go out in five games, at least it's, you get that like something there. And then that's also probably going to, if you're trying to re-sign Tomas Hertl, making the playoffs isn't the worst thing in the world, especially in, then you could say like, look, we got Eklund coming, we got Weisbach coming, we got Robbins coming, we have reinforcements coming, like, and Bortolo is going to be, you know, probably coming too. Like, you're going to have reinforcements coming. So yeah, I mean, it was, again, it wasn't their best game, it wasn't their sharpest game, but I think they were due, especially after the way that they've played the last couple games. So let's go ahead, take a couple of your questions here. So ASMR stream, sorry, I forgot to mute before I started drinking my water before I started the game. From Illuminato, hey JD, are you still locked in the podcast factory? Constantly in the podcasting factory. That's the only time I'm allowed out is to go to my regular job, and even then I'm still not far from the podcasting. Let's see. Woodacount 91, sign Hurdle's extension, extend Timo's contract a while. Let's ride with them. Eklund, Carlson, Merckx, and Ferraro. Not a bad, you know, I think they still need that one more piece, that like one more elite piece, I think. But this is a super deep draft. And, you know, depending on where chips fall, guys fall all the time, you know, they might be able to get that one more piece this draft. But Will Scouch is going to be on tomorrow, so we are actually going to kick off our draft season tomorrow. Ty asks, do you think Timo had a Built Bar today? Duh, of course. I did. This guy did say on yesterday's, on today's preview podcast, Timo is going to have a small coffee, and Timo is going to come out and dominate. And what did Timo Meier do? Just that. So, also, Kyle seems to not committed. Why is he on? He's been really busy with some personal stuff. They should get back to normal here soon. So, you know, it's not that he didn't want to be on. It's just he's got some personal stuff that he's been dealing with. So, and you know, believe me, he wanted to be here tonight, but just dealing with some stuff. And like I said, he's going to be back to normal. You're going to see Kyle back on to his normal self. So, yeah, I know it's been kind of weird with Kyle lately, but I promise you, he wants to be here, especially for this episode. He really wanted to be here, but just didn't work out tonight. So, yeah, hang in there for Kyle. It was also Reimer's comeback game. Yep. I was on the trade Hertl bandwagon, but if Timo and Hertl maintain this consistency, we got ourselves a team. Yeah, I mean, I know Hertl, this has been his best year. And this is that kind of like 27, 28 is supposed to be your kind of peak year where you put everything together physically and mentally, and we're seeing that from Hertl. So I mean, I don't expect him to continue this throughout the rest of his career, but if he can be, you know, 90% of what he's at right now, if he can be, you know, I don't know if he can be a 40 goal scorer every year, but if he's, you know, a 30, 35 goal scorer for the next, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, you know, I think you have to really, really, really think about trying to re-sign him. And I you know, there is the report that the Sharks are going to be offering him a contract. I still would be worried about that 7-8 year deal, but I mean, sometimes we've seen that, you know, where you have to pay that, you have to offer that to get a guy to stay, especially where, you know, if Hertl does go into the open market, a team will give him that seventh year. They can't give him the eighth year, but a team will give him that seventh year to lock him up, especially if you are a team that has cup aspirations and you think that Tomas Hertl can be that final piece for you. And Hertl said that he wants to win. So he's not going to go to a team like, you know, the Sabres or, you know, something like that, where they're really far away. He wants to go compete. So, you know, if you want to resign him, you got to be able to prove to him that you can compete. And I think if Timo continues the way Timo's playing, and you get Eklund, and you know, you can, if kind of you've got Merkley, who's, you know, showing that he's an NHL player, and you know, if you find that one other piece, I think, and you get those reinforcements that we think are coming, like, the Sharks team can compete, I think, sooner than later, actually. So yeah. yeah, Kyle's doing fine. So like I said, he'll be back. He wanted to be here. It's nothing, you know. So also when I came off the book back, but if he's off the books, what player can we pick up that can be added? I mean, I don't think the Sharks are going to be big in this year's trade deadline. I think they're going to probably be one of those teams that are just like, we're happy to make it and then kind of see what goes on from there. Just because, you know, they've already traded a second round pick for Aiden Hill, and especially in the really deep draft class, I don't think Doug Wilson and Doug Wilson Jr. want to trade these assets. And even their prospects, they're really excited about their prospects. And I don't know if they want to trade one of these guys for a kind of rental, right? If they do make a trade, I would expect maybe more of a hockey trade like we saw last year where they traded Antti Suomela for Alexander Barabanov, and that's worked out splendidly for the Sharks, right? Maybe try to find a guy who's not fitting into somebody else's scheme and maybe would fit into ours, because the Sharks still need some more scoring punch, especially in that middle six. And that's been probably their biggest, you know, that and the power play has been their biggest Achilles heel. It's just, if Timo and Hurdle and, you know, Couture and those guys, if they're not scoring, they're just not getting enough of that extra scoring. So I'd be shocked actually if they try to like go out and make big splashes. Like, you know, they're like, Colorado is expected to try to make a big splash, right? The Minnesota Wild, who are, you know, they're really deep, but they don't have that like top, other than Kirill Kaprizov, they don't really have that like top talent. You know, those type of teams I would expect to make like a big splash like that. I don't see the Sharks considering themselves those type of contenders, you know? So again, Doug Wilson surprised us, but I would just expect kind of a more quiet trade deadline, unless they're doing like one of those little like, you know, one for one kind of lower tier guys. So, but yeah. Before we get out of here, let's talk about the power play, which looked better today. You know, it's definitely been a tough go with the power play recently. And I know we were all, or once Bob Bugner was like, we're putting Burns and Carlson back together, hurrah. It looked better today, you know, and I mean, granted, Timo Meier covered for a lot of mistakes, but you saw a lot better passing and stuff. And especially, you know, that Burns pass that helped set up, you know, the Timo Meier goal, like, was just a thing of beauty. And, you know, like sometimes just having good players on your power play can make it work. And, you know, I'd still like to see a little more bounce, especially on the second unit, which, you know, like it feels like it's Ryan Merkley and then like Dahlin, and then I think it's Bonino and Weatherby, and it's just not enough guys. But again, that's the problem with the Sharks, is they just don't have enough of those guys to really kind of make it run at a nice stable second power play. So maybe that's where they're just like, you know what, let's just load up on this first power play and see if we can try to score. And then if not, then whatever. But I know the Shark, at least the Kings penalty kill has been dreadful. The Sharks do play. Yes. Timo shooting 100% on the power play does help. I can confirm if you shoot 100% on the power play, you're going to score 100% of the time. But, you know, if, you know, the Sharks play the Kraken on Thursday, and the Kraken have been, you know, they've been kind of struggling as well. So this would be a good time for the power play to continue to get better, or to continue to kind of work on that fine tuning and try to build some more chemistry and stuff. But I know Timo, Steven, I know Timo helps my PP shoot 100% of the time. Oh boy, you guys are the best. But yeah, they play the Kraken on Thursday. And, you know, if you're going to want to beat some of these big teams that are coming in, like, you know, they have the Lightning on Saturday, and then they play the Panthers, who are scoring like 5 goals a game since the Christmas break. Like, you got to get these special teams units going, and, you know, like, so trying to continue to build that chemistry and build that you know, just confidence with your power play. And if the Sharks are just a one power play unit right now, and that's all you got, then that's all you got. And I think, you know, as if her, Carlson and Burns can kind of figure out their roles, and you're just rolling out there with Couture and Hurdle and Timo Meier, and it's just saying we're going to put our five best guys on the ice, so let's roll with it and see what happens. You know, I can't blame Bob for running with that, especially if, you know, considering the guys behind him. You know, as much as I love Jasper Weatherby, but Jasper Weatherby is a fourth line center, and Nick Bonino, you know, is your third line defensive center, and like, on good teams, these guys wouldn't be sniffing the power play. So it's just, it is what it is with the Sharks. And that's just where their lack of like top quality guys kind of comes in to hurt them. So before we get out of here, if you guys want to drop some more questions in, I will be more than happy to answer them. So please do so right. Meow. I'm going to drink some water, try not to get too ASMR right now. So drop in your questions really quick and I'll answer them before we get out of here. Right. Meow. But yeah, I mean, it was kind of like, again, big overview. It was nice to see Timo Meier really have his moment. And, you know, I don't expect him to get another 5-goal game probably ever again in his career. And, but you know, it's just, especially with what he's been doing, you know, the past couple of years, I think it's been nice for him to kind of be like, his redemption arc and be like, this is why you spend the draft pick on him, and this is what Timo Meier can do when he's on his game. So Luminati, with Merkley showing up, you think he stays up? I think you have to. You know, with Ryan Merkley, I know his number, it wasn't his best game, but like I've said it before, you know, you've got Carlson's not going anywhere. If, you know, Brent Burns is, you know, got another 4 years on his contract, you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to play Merkley at some point. Like, you can't just keep him in the AHL forever. And like that, especially that bottom pair defensive, it's been a hot mess all season. And I think the Vlasic Merkley combo works really well, where, you know, Vlasic's big struggle with him is, you know, like he can still play defense pretty well on, you know, for the most part. And, you know, he's not as good as he once was, but if it's, you know, a portion of what it was, and then, but now Merkley helps Vlasic, because, you know, Merkley is that puck moving guy and he can start the transition and, you know, like, and help him out. And then Vlasic kind of helps Merkley out, where, you know, again, Merkley's played pretty solid defense. But, you know, like he can learn from Vlasic and he can, you know, kind of, utilize Vlasic, and Vlasic can kind of help cover those mistakes when Merkley tries to be a little bit more aggressive. So, you know, I think you got to roll with the Chaos defense for now. It's working now. I mean, you know, they played their two best games the last two games, and they won 6-2 today. You know, I think you continue to ride Merkley, because he's not going anywhere. Like, you have to just embrace it at some point where he's one of your best guys. And, you know, would you rather play Merkley and let him continue to grow or develop, or play Balazs or Šimek on their offhand? Or like, you know, I just think, again, Merkley, he's not going anywhere. None of these, you know, right-handed defensemen are going anywhere. So you might as well embrace it and just let him ride with it. So let's see. Bearded guy, Sharks guy 661. How much do the Sharks brass hate being in this position, being really good hockey but not in a playoff spot, but being good, too good to tank? I think it's tough. It, you know, like, but I'm they probably assume this is where they're going to be anyway, right? You know, going into the season, I think realistic expectations were they wanted to make the playoffs. I don't think they consider themselves to be, you know, a Vegas or whatever, but like, I think they're kind of where they thought they would be. And, you know, they've got a really tough stretch coming up. And I think the way the Sharks play kind of end this month is going to be really telling on what the Sharks do. You know, if they can hold their own against, you know, the Lightnings, the Panthers, the Capitals, you know, teams of that nature, then, you know, I think that's going to give Doug Wilson the confidence to try to, you know, make a run. And if they just kind of fold and crack, and then, you know, and Hurdle decides he doesn't, I think it just depends on what Hurdle wants to do. If Hurdle decides he wants to be here, then the Sharks are going to, you know, roll with that. And if Hurdle decides he doesn't want that contract, then they have to trade him and go from there. So Raska being benched for Peterson was an interesting choice. Yeah. I mean, all those guys to me are whatever. I mean, I would like to see Hobblewalks get a little bit more run just because I thought he brought a little bit more energy in that scoring. But, you know, I mean, Raska is a big kind of energy guy, and Peterson's been very mad, but they did put that draft pick into him. So, so we'll whatever. I mean, just protect Lord Jasper. The only funny thing was him trying to muscle Kopitar away from Reimer. He was literally laughing that he was, again, you're going to have that. He did have a nice, against in the Penguins game. He definitely did his job in the crease there, but you know, it's fine. I mean, Merkley's smaller than I am. So, and I'm like 6'2", 220. So Merkley's smaller than I am, but you know, he tries. He's not there to play defense. He's there to just help score goals. Is Peterson Bob's son? Don't understand why he keeps getting put in the lineup. I don't know. I always thought Melker Carlson had blackmail on Pete DeBoer. Maybe he just gave that blackmail to Peterson for Bob Bugner. I don't know. Like, but I think it's probably a little bit because he can play center and he does all the little things and all that fun stuff anyway. So, all right, last couple questions here. Hey, JD, fan of your podcast here. Really enjoy your work. Thank you. I'm glad somebody enjoys my work. Dana Peterson, what blackmail does Bob? Yeah, same thing. We don't know. Bearded guy, Sharks guy, 661. Could Hobblewalks play over Gregor on the third line when Barabanov comes off? That's going to be interesting because Barabanov should be back for the Kraken game. So we haven't had Barabanov and Balsers back since at least together since like mid-December. I don't think Hobblewalks is going to get in over Gregor just because I think Bob likes the way Gregor's playing. Shang did a really good article on kind of Gregor's growth. You know, he's not scoring right now, which is tough, but like he's doing all the little stuff right, which is what the coach is like. And Gregor's overdue at this point. I mean, you can't go like 50 shots, especially for a guy like that, as talented he is. You can't go 50 shots without scoring a goal. And I think it's going to be one of those things like where he hits the kind of like when we saw with Bonino, right? Bonino went the first four or like 18 games without scoring. And then he scored like four out of the next six games or something like that. So it's like, once Gregor scores, it's going to be the same thing. I guarantee it. So I've been on the clue that Makar is playing similar to prime EK65 and Carlson this year is great, but really not prime Carlson. I found out that EK65 and Cal Makar this year are having their two best seasons by expected goals above replacement for 60 by D-Man since 2007-2008. It's not even that close. Makar is at 1.744, Carlson at 1.23. Sort of puts into context that Carlson's not great. Makar is just a certain. Makar is really good at hockey, but it's nice to see Carlson being back to Erik Karlsson form. We've talked, Kyle and I have talked very much about how Erik Karlsson's really good, and we will defend him with our lives because we just like watching Erik Karlsson be good at hockey. So that's going to do it for me today. Thank you guys for coming to hang out with me. I think we're going to try to do some of these little things kind of more now that we're getting our YouTube kind of up and growing. So we'll try not to spring them on you. Maybe we will. Who knows? If you subscribe, you hit the little bell, you know when we're live, you know when we have new episodes coming out. So you can do that. We will be back tomorrow with the great Will Scouts. So make sure you subscribe to that because Will is, yeah, BFF of the show at this point. So he's going to kick off our 2022 draft coverage as we find Eklund a friend. So make sure you guys check that out on Wednesday. You can, of course, get at us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Locked On Sharks, where I man all of those. Put up the good stuff, of course, on Twitter. You guys know that. You can find me at my Fry Hole. Kyle is at Kyle Demetrius. You can listen to us wherever you get podcasts, Spotify, Apple, all that good stuff. You can also watch us on YouTube, which is where you're watching this right now. If you're watching, you can see I'm wearing my shark shirt today, and you can see my little Tomas Hertl bobblehead up there, who's wearing his little holiday suit, but he stays out year round. And sometimes you can see Dakota's tail in the background too. So, and I've been told dogs are fabulous. And we'll be back tomorrow. Thank you guys for making us your first listen. Go check out Locked On Bets. If you want to go win some money, go check out Locked On Kraken. If you want to learn more about that Kraken before we play them on Thursday, and we'll be back tomorrow. Bye, friends.